not the boring, generic, milquetoast stuff coming from the network in Connecticut.
I'd describe him as the best, obviously.
Cattles.
He throws it out there, speaks his mind, that's cool.
And Rami.
He's supposed to make people laugh. He's just an expert at it.
Cattles and Rami.
Live and local in the afternoon.
Sactown Sports.
I think that was the closest one yet. Would you agree?
It really is like watching a pit crew.
I told you. It's exactly what it's like. That's what it feels like.
I didn't want to make you feel self-conscious, so I wasn't staring right at you. I was pretending I was looking at my computer, but actually peering over it and watching your process.
How'd that go?
I'm sanitizing the workstation in the crossover.
How'd that go?
It's impressive.
Did it go well?
I'm just going to say it's impressive.
I'm going to hurt myself.
I'm going to solve the puzzle.
I'm going to hurt myself.
Yeah, dude,
days.
Probably. I heard something fall over there when you went to grab something from your backpack or something bang into the wall. What happened over there?
I'm going
to
pull something or cut something. Something's going to happen. I ripped my thumb a little bit today. Something is going to happen.
Doing what?
Wiping the mic. I don't know what happened. I think it's the piece here that's close to the microphone.
Everything
Are you
just
bleeding
happening
right now?
Too fast?
No. I thought I was going to bleed, but it's not bleeding.
Everything
you.
Was just happening too fast for you to even know how the injury happened.
Yes. Wow. I just, something happened.
It was like a
I
car accident.
Don't even bring that up with my recent experience. Anyway, happy hump day, everybody. Thanks for joining us as always. It is much appreciated on this Wednesday. He's Rami Cattles. A lot to get to before we get to the game night for Kings Raptors 5:30 later on here on Sactown Sports. And we'll get to the Kings. Plenty to talk about your Kings. But I want to start with the Niners, actually, Rami. And I want to start with Brock Purdy.
An NFC championship this weekend.
It doesn't even feel like it.
Right?
It's just
Purdy.
It's been so quick. It has been so quick. Everything is just flying by. At least it feels that way. But we are just a few days away from the NFC championship game. And obviously the biggest story, because the media is going to make it the biggest story, is Brock Purdy. People are saying things about Brock Purdy. I've said this for a long time now, since he started games for San Francisco, that he is a great story. Hopefully they make a movie, and I'm rooting for him. I am always rooting for the Cinderella. I am always rooting for an underdog. I'm always rooting for guys and gals that are doubted and, you know, questioned about their ability. And it is a fantastic story. But.
But.
There is a but. The focus should be on Brock Purdy versus the Eagles, right? The focus should be on the Niners against the Eagles, offense, defense, but inevitably, Rami, and this is what I have been warning people about for the last few weeks, inevitably, the crush of the Brock Purdy coverage is going to reach the land of hyperbole. And that's where we're getting. Like, that's where we're getting to. That's what's going to happen. And that's what already is happening from some people, is this hyperbolic nonsense about Brock Purdy. Who am I talking about? Just in case you think this is
talking about Nick,
because people might think this is like a straw man's argument. No, nobody. Here's Dante Whitner from NBC Sports Bay Area.
Think back to when Tom Brady replaced Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, why?
$100 million contract. Now it's going to be Brock Purdy replacing Trey Lance, the number three pick. But it's all predicated on the next two ball games. Brock Purdy is the second coming of Tom Brady.
Wait. What did he say at the end there?
He said Brock Purdy is the second coming to Tom Brady.
My hearing's not great.
Yeah, you know, that's what he said.
From a career in radio, I'd come in here and I crank these headphones up, Nick. So every once in a while, I hear something and I'm like, what did I just hear? Did I hear that right? Because sometimes I'll hear things wrong.
Oh,
sometimes
you heard
I don't
it right.
hear things at all. You know what I mean?
You heard it right.
I heard it right.
The second coming
of Tom Brady.
Look,
top five all-time quarterback, Tom Brady.
Top quarterback of all time. Look, anything is possible.
Top 10.
Anything is possible, number one. Maybe Brock Purdy moves on. No zeros. Maybe Brock moves on to be a great quarterback. Again, I would love it. I am here to see it. I am here to root for it. It would be fantastic. But number one, this is so incredibly disrespectful to Tom Brady. Like, imagine being Tom Brady. Like, I've won 7 Super Bowls. I've been to how many? What is it? 9?
10, right? 10? Yeah.
I've been to 10 Super Bowls. I've won 7 of them. I've played for 20-plus years. I have broken all sorts of records within NFL history. Prolific passer. I've done all of this.
Did he start 7-0?
And this dude.
Didn't go to the NFC Championship as an unlikely rookie starter?
And this guy.
This guy.
This guy, Brock Purdy, after playing like 7 games, is being mentioned in the same breath as me.
Excuse me.
You're loco, man.
After winning 7 games.
How many Tom Brady's happen? One. One Tom Brady happens, okay? You're not going to get somebody who is drafted in the 6th round, 7th round, undrafted, to go on and win 5, 6, 7 Super Bowls. That's not going – like, this is Halley's Comet, folks. And Dante Whitner's like, nah, he's just the next Tom Brady. No big deal. This happens all the time. Like, you know, the 20 years of what was built with Brady, that'll happen.
But it started the same way, Nick. That's what he's getting
at. So did a million other stories that never got to that pinnacle, Rami. There are so many 7-game samples that went very well that did not end up with the greatest career of all time.
It's the same Nichols. Thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It is disrespectful to somebody who accomplished as much as Brady to just throw somebody after 7 games into that company. It's like, nah, man, like, you got to work at it. Patrick Mahomes is far, far away from the company of Tom Brady, and we're already sitting there saying Brock Purdy. After, like, relax. It's a good story. It's a great story. I want it to happen. I want it to work. Again, I want it. But can people just relax? Because aside from being disrespectful to Brady and other great quarterbacks, Mahomes, you know, all other great quarterbacks like Rodgers, back in the day you got Montana and Peyton Manning. And I mean, you go through
better than Mahomes.
It's just, can we just appreciate what's happening right now? And people thought like, oh, Nick, like, why are you worked up? Because I knew this is where we were going to get to this spot right now. I knew inevitably that people in the media would start to lose their minds and go too far too soon. And you know who else it's unfair to, Rami?
Brock Purdy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 100% unfair to Brock Purdy for anybody to start comparing him to the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, if you want to compare him to other really good rookie seasons, really good first-year quarterbacks, you know, quarterbacks that have gotten this far in their first season as a quarterback, that's fine. But everybody got to pump the brakes. That want, you know, anybody who wants to bring up the names that I brought up, the Mannings, the Mahomeses, the Bradys, the you know, all of them, Montanas, we all have to make sure. We got to keep these people in check and hold them accountable.
The only time you should be hearing Brock Purdy's name in the same sentence with some of those guys that you just mentioned is when, like, I think it's notable that no 49ers quarterback has started as well as he has in terms of, and not just in wins and losses, in a number of categories, in interceptions. I saw today, Nick, I need to pull this up to make sure I have it right. His postseason streak of completions or attempts without interceptions is far and away the best in not just 49ers history, in the history of the NFL. If people want to talk, put his name in the same sentence as those guys and saying he has done this for the first time since so-and-so, fine. But to say he's the next Tom Brady, you're right. They're taking 7 games and projecting out 20 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, literally taking 7 games and projecting out 20 of the best years, if not the best years, in the history of the NFL in terms of a single player's resume.
It's irresponsible. And look, Dante Whitner,
irresponsible.
It is. If you're a media member, Dante should know this. The dude played in the league for a long time. He was a successful player in the NFL. He should know. Like, everybody calm down. You know, it's like if you're comparing a safety who played the first 6 or 7 games of their career and saying, "Oh, there you go. That's Ronnie Lott." Or a cornerback who had a really good start. The next Deion Sanders. Like,
people were kind of, I mean, Hufanga, people are going, ooh, Polamalu. Remember 4 games into the season, we were like, the next Polamalu.
It's just, it's, It's unfair to Purdy, and this, I just want to put some respect on the names of those that should be talked about with this run, because all of a sudden this has become the Brock Purdy show. How about the acquisition of Run CMC and what he's meant? How about Kyle Shanahan and the job he's done coaching? How about D'Amico Ryans and what he does with this defense? But how about Nick Bosa, who should be in the MVP conversation?
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'll just say I'm not surprised.
That's where
the spotlight has gone, because first of all, quarterbacks, right? The spotlight is always on quarterbacks, almost always on quarterbacks. And secondly, the nature of the story, the overcoming the odds, the unlikely hero and guy who comes in and has this type of success. Like, those are both things that the media loves to jump on and shine a light on. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm not at all surprised that that's the story that people want to tell. Here's the number. This is crazy, Nick. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Brock Purdy. And I know you're tired of people talking about Brock Purdy and the things he's done. But this is what I mean. Like, these types of things, I think it's okay to go, wow, that's notable. That's impressive. 59 attempts without an interception in the postseason. The next closest, Norm Van Brocklin went 14 attempts without throwing an interception in 1949, and Tyler Huntley went 13 in 2020.
But how many total passes did Norm Van Brocklin throw in 1949?
I don't know. But Tyler Huntley in 2020. He's lapping the field in terms of his decision making, I guess you could say, and not giving the ball to the other team, which, as you've said, as long as he doesn't throw up on himself, they're going to be all right. He's doing that and doing it as well as you can do it. You know what I mean? He's the designated driver.
Yeah.
And he's killing it.
Yeah.
As the designated driver. You know what I mean? He's crushing it.
You know, don't call me crazy, but I think we could actually live in a world where we can appreciate this great story that is Brock Purdy without leaping to some of the bounds that these people are leaping to.
Sure.
Let's appreciate the story. Let's appreciate the run. Let's embrace Purdy. Let's enjoy this. Let's give him all the credit in the world. But we don't have to go crazy. We don't have to lose our minds. That's just my point.
Why do you hate Brock Purdy, though, is my question. I keep asking.
I can't stand him. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Of course, you can join us on YouTube, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. When you swing by the YouTube page, don't forget to give us that like. More likes, more eyeballs, bigger community. That's what we're going for. We'll get your thoughts on Brock Purdy and Dante Whitner calling him the second coming of Tom Brady, if you'd like. Also, how much would we be willing to spend to keep Harrison Barnes in town? Our answer's in 90 seconds.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports. The only place you'll find Keegan Murray is Sacktown Sports.
Up to Keegan Murray, straight away for three, and Keegan knocks down the triple.
Hey, Sacramento, it's Keegan Murray, and you're listening to the home of Sacramento Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Your local sports leader. Cattles and Robbie, Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
One brings Maklof magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
It is 2:15. Time check. It's on me. So used to Verla just putting my mic on. I got to get used to that.
I can do that if you want.
No, it's fine. It's a habit every once in a while. 2:15 is what he said on this hump day. Time check brought to you by Coastside Medical Clinic. So, as I just tweeted at Nick C Radio, just want to live in a world where we can truly enjoy a great story without losing our minds. And I feel like that shouldn't be too much to ask. But maybe it is, Rami. Maybe it is in the year 2023. Maybe it's just too much to ask to actually just enjoy a story.
Yeah, do we not get carried away with anything? We get carried away with everything. It's 2023.
I know. It's so irritating to
everything
me.
Is extreme.
So annoying.
Both frustrated and angry.
Wow. Extreme, just, you know?
Woo!
you know?
Going crazy. That's what it's all about, right? Going crazy. 7-game sample. Next Tom Brady.
Everything, man. You name it. We go crazy about it. There's nothing we don't go crazy about in 2023.
Speak for yourself. I try to be somewhat reasonable.
I just mean we in terms of society
yes,
general.
I would agree.
We lose our minds over everything.
But we also, here's one more thing I'll just say about that. We pay way too much attention to the minority voices in the world
throwing out
crazy stuff.
You're saying the stupid.
Yeah. I heard somebody a long time ago say, like 30% of this world has always been like, you know, conspiracy theorists and just throwing a bunch of random stuff out there and hating stuff. But they never had the megaphone, right? Now they have the megaphone. So it's like everybody pays attention on Twitter to the people who bring up the most ridiculous stuff. The Damar Hamlin stuff, for example. That's why I don't like to waste time talking about the Damar Hamlin.
Oh, I thought
Hamlin.
We were going
to
leave that yesterday.
Know.
Why'd you bring that up again?
So down that rabbit hole,
because I saw it again, like, trending.
And is that really Damar Hamlin?
What does trending even
You're
mean?
You're sure that was Damar Hamlin?
Again, the problem also is the dreaded A word, the algorithm that also feeds you that 30%, like apparently Rami's Twitter is.
That's what I mean. What's trending? Trending is whatever they want to trend. That's what it is. Anyway.
Okay.
Let's jump to
you
the Kings
in the
here.
Matrix, bro, all right?
Let's jump to the Kings. I think most people in the YouTube chat agree with us. About, you know, let's not go too far about Brock Purdy. Let's enjoy the story. Let's enjoy, embrace the story. Let's give the young man credit for playing very well. This is a great run. The Niners have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. There's a lot of awesome things about this run that we can talk about and enjoy without losing our collective minds and comparing the quarterback who's played 7 games to the guy who has won 7 Super Bowls. Let's think about that. Brock Purdy's played 7 games. We're saying he's the second coming of somebody who has won 7 Super Bowls. Everybody calm down. All right, let's jump to Harrison
Why do you
Barnes.
Hate Brock Purdy?
Harrison Barnes, I do not. HB is balling, Rami.
Purdy.
15 points or so a game, 5 rebounds a game. He's also shooting almost 49% from the field. He's shooting 39% from 3. And Coach Brown was very, very nice to one Harrison Barnes when talking about him on Monday night.
HB is irreplaceable from the standpoint that he brings a calming presence to us no matter what the situation is. Our two all-stars, Foxy and Domas, are learning how to lead. And they haven't necessarily been in huge pressure moments in the NBA and come out on top. HB has.
Irreplaceable. Mike Brown talked about the long term with HB. He sounds nearly untouchable, Rami.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we've got two options. If we say he's nearly untouchable, because look, anything can happen. There could be this gigantic trade before the deadline of bringing in a top 20. We don't think that's going to happen.
They say LeBron might be on the block this offseason.
Oh, you never know. Aside from a trade that could knock our socks off, right? Just knock our pants off, like I said yesterday. HB is more likely to be here in Sacramento when the trade deadline passes, which leaves two options. He either walks, right, or you keep him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could, of course, sign and trade him, and that's a whole other world. And
again, LeBron.
But let's just look at the idea of losing him or extending him. He makes $18.3 million right now, Rami. What would you offer him? What is reasonable to you if you are Monty McNair and you want to keep HB in town?
I think you have to that clip that Mike Brown played in the longer extended version of that clip or quote, he talks about the effect of Harrison Barnes and how he rubs off on guys and his professionalism and having been on a championship team before, et cetera, et cetera. The production is one thing, Nick. I think what makes him sort of untouchable or makes Mike Brown make him sound untouchable is those intangibles of his leadership and his veteran presence and championship know-how. If you can get better production out there on the market for the money that it would cost to bring back Harrison Barnes, I'll give you a price that I'd pay in a second. But if you can get better production and you think that the Barnes effect has set in the offseason, this stuff that Mike Brown is talking about, that those lessons have set in and they've been absorbed, and those guys, now it's part of their DNA, and that you don't need Harrison Barnes to preach this stuff or to rub off on guys or set that example anymore, his value is a little bit less to the Kings at that point, right? Like when it's set in and it's part of the rest of the younger guys' DNA. I think if you can bring him back – at around the same price that you're paying him now, but in a contract that is it de-escalates in terms of the cost to the team as you go into the third, maybe fourth year of a deal. I wouldn't go much further than that. He's a tradable piece in case this franchise is in a much different place, or you just have less use for Harrison Barnes at that point and you're looking to move him. I'm good with, you know, something in the 15 to 18 million per year range on, in terms of average annual salary, and something that, that goes down in cost as the years go on.
We're in the same spot. I mean, if I'm Monty, I don't want to go any longer than 3 years. You know, HB is going to be 31 in May. So I don't want to have somebody on the books at age 34, 35, unless they are a LeBron James who seemingly doesn't age, a la Tom Brady in the NFL. Like, there are a couple of freaks in sports, and we got those guys, Ovechkin in the NHL, right? There are a few select athletes that just, they defy age.
Right.
But if I'm a GM and I'm playing it safe and smart, I'm not going to give HB more than 3 years. I think price-wise, you're right on the money. Somewhere $16, $17 million. You got the Domas extension, I think, on the way at some point when they can actually offer him the long-term deal. We talked about Monty staying here, which I think gives you a better chance of signing Domas to that extension. And when you just look at it, there's always the possibility that we're dealing with contract year Harrison Barnes, right? Like he's lighting the world
on
fire.
That's the other thing. That's the other unknown, sort of.
But if I'm looking at comps, Mikal Bridges, right? Let's look at him in Phoenix. He's going to make about $23 million this year. He's better than HB, and he is also 5 years younger than HB.
Right.
You could also look at Bojan Bogdanovic, who I think is a better comp. You know, he's 33 years old, and he just signed a two-year contract extension with Detroit. He's going to get paid about $19.5 million. So, you know, I would actually look at, you know, $17, $18 million as a fair price. And let's not forget that the cap is also going to jump.
Sure.
Which makes a difference. You know, $18 million this time around is not the same as $18 million last time around. So I think that's fair. I would be more focused on the term. I don't think you go longer than 3 years. I would be concerned if we're talking age 34, 35 HB versus 32, 33. But I think we're in the same category. And I think it's doable. I think it's doable. Cole G says 2 years, $45 million on the YouTube channel.
That's
YouTube.com,
not crazy.
Sacktown Sports, 1140.
Factoring in what you just said about the cap, that's not a crazy number. 2 years, $45 million, and that way you're not investing as long in a guy who's 30 years old, and he's maybe getting a little bit more money than he would if he went out into the open market.
Mr. All Red Everything says 3 years, $65 million. So I think I would not look to go more than $18 million. I think that's my ceiling. Now, of course, push comes to shove. You got to throw an extra $500 grand there. Okay. But I wouldn't want to go 20-plus million with HB. I just wouldn't. But I think it's very doable, and I think it's very possible that HB is going to stay here through the trade deadline and that he is going to be a king next season as well with an extension. Your thoughts on that. How much would you be willing to pay HB? 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number, 1-800-920-1140. Phone lines wide open for you. Also, YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Give us the thumbs up. Very little effort from you. Helps us an awful lot. More thumbs up means more eyeballs to the product. And, of course, we're going 6A to 6P now on Sacktown Sports. We're trying to build the momentum and build this YouTube channel. Your help is especially important with that. The trade deadline, as we were just talking about, it's nearing. What's Coach Brown saying about his team? Find out next.
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports goes 100% live and local
from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
starting January 23rd. Tune into Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m., followed by the return of Deuce and Mo
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.,
followed by Cattles and Robbie from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. You wanted more local? We're giving you more local on Sacktown Sports, your local sports leader. Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
With your Sacktown Sports headlines, I'm Simone Rickford. Good people of Sacramento and disciples of the Beam rejoice. Kings announced yesterday that general manager Monty McNair has agreed to a multi-year contract extension. The contract for the Kings assistant general manager Wes Wilcox has also been extended. The announcement is widely welcomed as McNair has been considered instrumental in ascending the franchise into Western Conference contention. Kings take on the Toronto Raptors tonight to conclude their January home stand at Golden 1 Center. If there wasn't already enough to cheer for, with a win over the Raptors tonight, Sacramento can improve to 9 games over .500, their best start since the 2004-2005 season. Stay tuned for all of your Beam Watch coverage right here on Sactown Sports, starting with game night at 5:30 following Cattles and Rami. I'm Simone. Those are your Sactown headlines. Next, we're going to discuss Mike Brown and his components of his Beam team. Coming up right now on Cattles and Rami.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sactown Sports.
Yeah, yeah. With you on a Wednesday. He's Rami. I'm Cattles. Let's stick with the Kings, Rami.
Yes, Nick.
By the way, Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee will be joining us in 1 hour to discuss the extension for Monty McNair.
Is he Mr. All Red Everything?
What did he say?
Said, see, we finally got the camera angle figured out so you don't look so small. I'm changing his words for him. So you don't look so small.
Yes.
On the YouTube channel.
I noticed that.
I think we could zoom in on you a little more. But then we wouldn't see the Sactown Sports logo.
We gotta keep the logo.
Branding, Rami.
I know, but
I don't see anything right now.
It says Sactown Sports right across the top in our graphic. We need it in your shot too. I think we need to zoom in on Nick. I'm just saying. I think we need more Nick in that shot.
Am I the only one not seeing a picture of us right now?
I'm seeing us.
Really?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Oh, hold on. I'm not live. 1 second. Yeah, I am live and I'm seeing us, so. Yeah, something's going on with your feed, bro.
Oh, there I am. What is going on with this computer?
Can we try zooming in on Nick?
No.
I mean, we can. It's not that hard.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. We're okay.
You're less than half the shot still. Okay. All right. Fine.
If you zoom in, you're not going to get the Sactown Sports above.
But it says Sactown Sports right across in the graphic, right across the top, right in the graphic.
But why else would we have that beautiful sign behind him?
For other shots? I don't know. I'm just saying. It still looks better, but still looks weird.
Here's my question. Why all of a sudden are you bothered by this? This has been the case since June.
It's bothered me since I got. I don't like our camera angle. I complained about my camera angle the first week I was here.
We
should explore other things.
Yeah, exactly. Why not try different things? You won't know until you try.
Tell a new PD.
As my mom would tell me when I didn't want to try food.
Is that what she would tell you?
You won't know until you try.
Did it work?
No, never.
Okay.
I'm stubborn.
So the camera angles probably won't work. But anyway, let's stick with the Kings. The Kings continue to crush expectations, obviously. They play the Raptors tonight. Game night coming up at 5:30. This will be the last game at Golden 1 before the long road trip for the Kings. And the trading deadline, Rami, the trading deadline is 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's coming up, man.
That's creeping up.
Yeah, it's creeping up quickly. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the trading deadline. And so Coach Brown met up with the media yesterday at Shootaround, and he was asked about the trading deadline and how he feels about this team and his communication with Monty.
I love this roster. I mean, you know, you talk about a group of guys that have connected, and that's a big thing when it comes to having the right culture. You know, your guys have to connect. They have to be all on the same page with your values and principles and all the other things that you're trying to get aligned to move this group in the same direction going forward.
So, you know, very similar to what he had to say about HB, right? He stood by HB, loves HB. HB is irreplaceable. Looks at HB as a long-term player versus a short-term player. Here he is yesterday with the media doubling down on not just HB, but this roster, saying, I love this roster. Absolutely love this roster. Where we're at, here was more from Coach Brown.
Well, having said that, though, that's what Monty and Wes get paid to do. They got to explore the market, and if they feel like there's something out there, then obviously we'll talk about it as a group. But I'm more than happy with the 17 guys we have on this team.
Now, of course, some of this is what the coach is supposed to say. I love my team,
and,
you know, it's Monty's job. But, again, kind of the same way I felt about the Harrison Barnes comments on Monday night, it does seem to me, and it would make sense because of how this team is playing, it seems to me that Coach Brown doesn't want to tinker too much.
No, so you're right. Some of that is coach speak. So I do wonder how much he means that and how much he's saying behind closed doors, hey, Monty, I need X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean? Because coaches and GMs do have those discussions. You do have to wonder about messing with the chemistry, Nick, because I think that is a big thing with this Kings team. I don't think that's overstated or embellished or some kind of made-up media narrative. I think the chemistry of this team, how much they love each other and like playing with each other and the vibe in that locker room and the defensive player of the game chain, the beam, the whole thing. Like I do think that's part of what makes this team as good and as dangerous as it is.
This is the balance, right? It's the challenge that the Kings have, and it's the challenge that we talked about weeks ago. You have the chemistry. You have these guys gelling. You're playing good basketball. This team is far from flawless. We've talked about some of the issues that they have and continue to have, especially on the defensive side. But it's this balance of, okay, how much do you want to mess with the chemistry? But also, if you have a chance to upgrade the talent, like if you have the chance to upgrade the talent, are you worried that it will upset that chemistry? And if so, are you willing to maybe risk some of the chemistry to have an obvious upgrade if Monty can find that obvious upgrade? That's what everybody, I'm sure, in the front office is battling right now. And Coach Brown, I mean, if you're Coach Brown, it's obvious these guys get along. They do have a special chemistry. As the coach, you want to win, which means you want the most talent possible, but you also appreciate what you have right now on this roster and how guys have that chemistry and how everybody is seemingly getting along.
Have you played Jenga? You played Jenga.
Oh, of course. Played Jenga, I got a little table Jenga at home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like the giant Jenga? Or the little, you have the, oh, okay, you have the little table. Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. All right. Sometimes you pull a piece out in Jenga and you're like, that should not. And the whole thing just comes toppling down. You're like, that's weird.
Sometimes it stays up, though, when you think it's going to fall down.
Exactly.
Huh?
I think when you're talking about chemistry, it's kind of the same thing. Malik Monk, I admitted yesterday, Nick, or 2 days ago, that, you know, I kind of have to come around to your side of things when it comes to Malik Monk. And there is something legitimately to be concerned about there. And maybe you could find a better piece off the bench in the trade market. But maybe Malik Monk is too important to the chemistry of this basketball team. Maybe he's that Jenga piece that if you pull out in terms of the chemistry and the good vibes and everything else. I'm just using Malik Monk as an example. I'm not saying it's necessarily the case. I think there are certain guys that if you pull them out of that locker room, it could have the effect of sort of things toppling down because of what it does to the chemistry of this basketball team and the good vibes that are around them right now.
The other game that this front office has to play, aside from the whole chemistry versus talent, right? The chemistry Jenga.
Yes.
The other game they have to play is, you know, you got to figure out what the future is with some of the assets you have with this specific team.
True.
Like, is Harrison Barnes going to be here long term? If he's not, then you're more apt to trade him, because if you can get something really good for him now without risking losing him when the season's over, then you might be willing to pull the trigger. You look at Davion. We've talked about Davion's role, his fit. You know, he has not been good in the pick and roll. He has not been good off ball. He has not given you much offense. Is he a fit with Malik Monk being the playmaking guard off the bench? Is he better off being sent somewhere else if you can get something of good value for him? So that's another piece of this that Monty and his staff have to figure out, which is, yeah, we might like these guys in a vacuum. We might love them in a vacuum individually. But what is the next 2 or 3 years look like? And if we could move one of those pieces, if we can move a Davion, but bring in somebody who is much better off the ball that could play with Monk off the bench,
right?
Is that then worth it? So there's a lot of different things that front offices have to think about. It certainly is not easy. 1-800-920-1140 is the phone number. Don't forget the website, SacktownSports.com. You can always check that out. Capital Casino, conveniently located at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. Check them out at Capital Casino. Is LeBron on the cusp of being done in LA? We'll have the latest for you coming up.
Yeah.
Your afternoon home for Kings talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sacktown Sports.
All right, so let's have some fun at the Lakers' expense, because that is one of my favorite pastimes. If we can drink in the tears of the Lakers, whether it's the fans, whether it's LeBron, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, Westbrook, whatever, Dennis Schroeder, whoever. I mean, it's all equal opportunity. They're all in the crosshairs. And last night.
Fabulous.
That's it. You're a fabulous. What are we?
Wrong sound. Wrong sound.
Fabulous what? I'm a fabulous, fabulous guy. So the Clippers beat. I don't know what that was. The Clippers.
Frustrated and angry.
Okay. That's the one I meant to play.
Okay, great. Clippers beat the Lakers 133-115 last night. And it wasn't about the game. But I will tell you, though, that LeBron, look, he's on an amazing run. And he does deserve credit for playing as well as he's played, given the rest of his starting lineup and Davis being out. And just, you know, nobody really is contributing consistently. LeBron keeps going out there dropping 30, 35, 40. Last night he was 46, 8, and 7 in 33 minutes. In 33 minutes, he went for 46, 8, and 7. The dude is 38 years old. He does deserve credit.
Sure.
As far as what he's doing on the floor.
Yes.
But we're not here to talk about him on the floor, because we all know who he is on the floor. During the game last night, as the game was coming to an end eventually, inevitably, cruelly for the Lakers, there was a video that was fixated on LeBron. And the best two words I could describe LeBron sitting on the bench, what he looked. He looked, I would say, sulking, you could use.
Mm-hmm.
You could also use despondent. I thought he looked very despondent. Just kind of looking off into the distance as the game was being played.
He hates it there.
Eventually, you know, covering his face with a towel. Just looked absolutely miserable, Rami.
He was pouting. He was on the bench and he was pouting. And after the game, it's he sounded like he was pouting and like he's just not happy being. I don't know if it's part of this Lakers organization or just where this organization is right now, but Nick, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, dude, you're sitting in the mess that you made. Like that's the last thing you want from a LeBron James is what we saw on that bench. That's the guy, right? That's the dude in that locker room. That's the guy who sets the tone. And he seems totally despondent, dejected, demoralized. Is there another word that starts with duh? If there is, it fits. He's
dejected.
And that dude, we've talked about the Kings and how the good vibes permeate throughout that locker room and how it has an actual impact and a difference.
Yeah.
And it starts at the top. LeBron James is doing the exact opposite to the Lakers. And I'm not saying that there isn't a talent deficiency there and there aren't roster problems, but when you talk about the vibe of a team and with a first-time head coach.
Well, let's get into that vibe. Before we go further, let's give people some examples, because you mentioned LeBron in the post game. Let's give people a tangible feel for the vibe last night after that game. They got beat again by 18 against the Clippers. Here was LeBron with the media in the post game room.
LeBron, Rob was speaking pregame about trade deadline, and he was saying if there's an opportunity to get all the way at the end and win a championship, there's no resource we'll hold on to if we feel like that's there. How does that analysis philosophy sit with you?
How does it sit with you? He said it to you guys.
Yeah.
All right. He's talking to you. He wasn't talking to us. Rob's going to do his job. That's his job. My job is to be on the floor and make sure my guys in the locker room is ready to go.
It doesn't matter if he said it to the reporter or he said it to you, LeBron. It's the philosophy that Rob Pelinka has spoken into the ether. How do you feel about that as a player on this team? Oh, well, he said it to you.
As the player on this team.
Yeah. Oh, he said it to you. Okay. Here was more of LeBron.
Knowing that you guys have played well in these moments and stuff like that, I guess, how did that sort of sit with you tonight?
We just don't have room for error. I said that last week.
That's it. Microphone down. Next question. You got anything for me? I understand LeBron's frustration as far as what's happening right now. Like, I feel like the front office and ownership, they have to do everything they can to make this team a winner. And they're not doing it. They're not willing to give up future first-round picks. And for a player who is 38 years old and playing right now on this team, that's frustrating. Like, to sit there and listen to your ownership say, no, we can't make a move to try to be better right now, to try to win a championship now because we're worried about what the draft's going to look like in 2027. If you're LeBron, from his point of view, you couldn't care less about 2027.
But he's also saying, we're not going to make a move that's going to do anything less than make us a championship team, which I think is the right approach if you're Rob Pelinka.
But I think LeBron's issue is like, hey, man, there are moves to be made. And LeBron, I would think, believes that they could be a contender if they make those moves, if they're willing to give up the first round picks, which they're not, right?
Like, LeBron has believed a lot of things.
Of course.
And that's why they are where they are right now, because they listen to LeBron.
Again, I don't want to fall into, I don't disagree. I'm at the front of the line with, you know, LeBron James is the main reason why Russell Westbrook's in town, and LeBron James is the de facto GM for a lot of these big decisions. Nothing's going to happen unless he's asked about them. But I don't want to just bypass Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss. I don't want to make them completely blameless in any of this and just say, oh, no, the excuse is going to be LeBron. Like, I think we could say, yeah, LeBron has screwed some things up for sure and has made it much tougher for Rob Pelinka to do his job. But that doesn't mean that Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss just need to keep passing the buck and saying whatever.
Not without – I'm not saying they're without fault. I'm just saying that neither is LeBron – and if Rob Pelinka has come to his senses in not just bowing to LeBron's every command and roster manipulation and is looking at the long-term health of this franchise and not willing to sacrifice it to be an okay team this year, that makes sense to me.
Again, it's all about point of view, right? Like, if you're LeBron, you believe, hey, surround me with some good players and I'm going to win because I'm LeBron James. That's what he feels. And
sure,
the outside world can look at that and be like, yeah, but you're still not going to be better than this team. It really all depends on Anthony Davis's health to begin with. I mean, if the guy's not healthy, none of this matters. But, you know, LeBron's looking at this saying to himself, we're a game and a half out of the play-in tournament. We still have a chance to become a playoff team. It's not like we're totally out of this thing. I'm playing some of the best basketball I've played in a long time. And I'm not worried about draft picks 5 years from now. Again, I understand the role that he has played. But he's trying to push to do anything that you can. I don't think the timing is great because they just did acquire Rui Hachimura, and Hachimura is not going to put you over the top. But as we discussed earlier this week, that was a no-brainer type trade. That was a home run for the Lakers, and your GM did just go out and improve the basketball team. It might not be the great thing that you want to happen, but they were at least active this week. So LeBron could be, I don't know, somewhat more optimistic in these post games off of that fact and off the fact that AD comes back tonight. So Davis comes back tonight. What's going to happen? I don't know. But LeBron is, you know, you're going for titles or bust if you're LeBron James
sure.
right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think LeBron could probably argue back, hey, man, the Westbrook move didn't work. Well, make a move and get Westbrook out of here then. He'd probably say that again. He's put this team in a tough position, but he's looking at the current circumstances, understanding that we need more help. Like, this team is not good. And I don't even know if LeBron is pushing for them to acquire a Bradley Beal type player. He's looking at this, you know, Thomas Bryant and Dennis Schroeder.
But if I'm Rob Pelinka, I'm looking at him and saying, really? You want me to go and get what? Bojan Bogdanovic is going to put us over the top? Like, they're not close enough that what's available on the trade market is going to put him over the top and make him a championship team. I know LeBron believes that, and he should. But if I'm Rob Pelinka, I need to be, and I'll say this, so don't take this the wrong way, about front office and coaches versus players. Your competitiveness sort of blurs your vision a little bit. I need to be the adult.
Oh, 100%.
I need to be the adult in the room and think a little bit more clearly and big picture than you. And I can't sacrifice this franchise on the whims of LeBron James. I can't.